Today's daf is Beya Daf Lamed Zayin, and we are four lines from the top of Daf Lamed Zayin Omer Aleph, the two dots, the Elu Hei Mishon Mitzvah. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba Ben Devorah, Devorah Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Chaim Aharim Ben Fega, Tamar Bas Chasida from Arifka, and Etta Malka Bas Miriam. So yesterday, at the end of the daf, we began the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, the epic Mishnah on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, which mentioned, in short, that anything that one is not allowed to do on Shabbos, Midrabanon, one is also not allowed to do on Yontif. Meaning, we know that the Melachos that one is not allowed to do on Shabbos, one is not allowed to do on Yontif, with the exception of Oichel Nefesh. Muktzah is an issue on Shabbos, it's also an issue on Yontif. Tchumin, you have on Shabbos, you have on Yontif. Shvisas Behema, Shabbos, you also have on Yontif. Says the Mishnah, Be'elamid Vavamid Beis, that anything that's asa midrabanan to do on Shabbos, one is not allowed to do on Yontif either. And then the Mishnah gave a whole bunch of different examples of things that one is not allowed to do on Shabbos midrabanan. But interestingly, the Mishnah divided those things into three groups. What the Mishnah refers to as Shvus, what the Mishnah refers to as Rishus, and what the Mishnah refers to as Mitzvah. What do those three things mean? Shvus means something that doesn't involve any Mitzvah at all. It's a total arbitrary act. Rishus means something that involves a little bit of a Mitzvah. And mitzvah is something that's a mitzvah gemura, that's a fartig mitzvah. Either way, says the Mishnah, if this thing involves shvus, rishus, or mitzvah, but at the end of the day, it's something that midrabanan you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, the same is going to be true that you're not going to be allowed to do it on Yontif either. So the Gemara is in the middle of explaining all these different shvusim, rishusim, and mitzvahs, and giving the reason why these things are asur on Shabbos, and memela why they're asur on Yontif as well. So the Mishnah said, the Elu Mishum Mitzvah, the following are examples of things that really involved bona fide mitzvahs, but at the same time, you're not allowed to do on Shabbos and Yontif. Loi makdishin, you're not allowed to make something hektish. Veloi marichin, you're not allowed to make erichin. Veloi machrimim, you're not allowed to make something cherim, which in this Mishnah is also a form of hektish. Says the Gemara, why are you not allowed to do these three things? Meaning, midday raisa, you can. It's only midrabanan that you cannot. That means Chazal were worried about something, and therefore they said, because of some gzeira, you can't do it on Shabbos and Yontif. So the Gemara says, gzeira mishum mekecha memker. So Pashat, it sounds like Chazal will worry that if you're going to do this, you may come to do business, which is a problem. Now, first of all, what's the connection between making something hektish, making something erichin, echerim, and doing business? Because when you do business, so there's mekech u'memker. Something transfers from the possession of one person to the possession of the other person. When you make something hektish, essentially you're doing the same thing. It goes from your personal rishos, now it belongs to the rishos of hektish. Amira legvaya is kemesira lehedyet. In halacha, in lamdis, on every level, when you make something hektish, it's the equivalent thereof of some type of transaction. So being that you can't do mekech u'memker, so Chazal said, gzeiru mishu mekech u'memker, don't make something hektish either. But Rashi asks a kasha on the Gemara, and that is, the issa to do business on Shabbos is not an issa de raisa. It's only an issa de rabbanon. Why is it aser? So Rashi says two reasons. Either because it says in the Torah, Yishaya nun ches, mimtsoi cheftzecha v'daber davar. It's just a weekday-ish type of thing, and as a result, you can't do it on Shabbos. Inami, there's a Chazal will worry that if you're going to do business, you may come to write a contract. Gzeira mishum ksiva. But the point is that mekech u'memker itself is something that's only asim at the Rabbanon. So you're going to make a gzeira loy makdishim v'loy marichim v'loy machrimim. Otu, you may come to do mekech u'memker. Mekech u'memker itself is something that's only asim at the Rabbanon. We don't make gzeirois l'gzeiris. We'll sometimes make a gzeira to protect the deraisa, but not to protect the Rabbanon. So Rashi says a pashta teretz. You have to say what the Gemara means when it says gzeira mishum mekech u'memker, not gzeira otu, you may come to do mekech u'memker. But when Chazal said you can't do mekech u'memker, they included in that anything that resembles mekech u'memker. So not only can you do regular business, but you also can't be makdish something, you can't make something erichin, you can't make something cherim. Either way, the short answer, why lay makdishin, v'lay marichin, v'lay machrimin, is because it's included in mekech u'memker. And being that Mekach HaMemka is something that's awesome in the Rabbanon, included in that Takanas Chazal was you can't make something hektish. The Mishnah said, you're not allowed to be Marfish Shumas U'Maishas. So it's interesting. Up until this point, the Gemara is asking kashas. Why? My time. Loi magbi and shumas umaisis. The Gemara says, I don't need an explanation for why it's an issue. To the contrary, I don't even understand why the Mishnah would have to mention it. Pshita, it's bashit. As if to say, even though the Mishnah is giving us a list of things that you're not allowed to do in the Rabbanah, but there must be a chiddush in each one of them, because there are other shvusim in the world. So there must be some sort of chiddush in the ones that are mentioned in the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, I don't see any chiddush in the fact that you're not allowed to be mafish chumas umaisis. Now, why is it so pashit? Because when you're mafish chumas umaisis, what you're essentially doing is you're taking your peiros, which you're not allowed to eat, which are in a state of tevel, and you're being masaking them. You're now able to eat them, which means that on some level you're being mesakin mana. Mesakin mana is related to makabe patish, which is one of the lametas melachas. Now the truth is, this is not a makabe patish midei raisa. The reason is because makabe patish midei raisa is only when you physically change something. Over here, you're not physically changing anything; you're just making it from asa to mutter. But the Gemara's kash is pshita that it would be asa midei rabbanon. So if that's the case, why would the Mishnah even have to mention lemak being trumois u'maisris? Satani Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef explained. He said leinitzucha ela litne. No, the chiddush is that what would be if the person is being mafresh chumas or maestras on Yantif, and immediately after he's mafresh it, he runs to the kohen to give him the truma. Over there, you would have thought that maybe it would be mutter. And the reason is because being that the whole makabe patish, the whole tikkun mana is only midrabbana, maybe the only time Chazal were worried is when it really looks like your kavana is to be masak in the mana. So if it looks like your intention is that you want the shirayim, I'm being mafresh truma so that I could eat everything else. So then Chazal said, it looks like you're being misak in the shirayim, it's going to be a problem. But if I take the truma and I immediately give it to the kohen, I give it to him bay bayoim, like Rabbi Yosef said, then it looks like I don't really care about the shirayim necessarily. What I want to do is, I want to give a gift to the kohen. So it looks like I'm not necessarily trying to be misak in mana. So you would have thought it's mutter, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, loy mag being truma some maestres, even though it's a mitzvah, still it's awesome at the rabbanu, because at the end of the day, you are misak in mana. Hani mili, you have to read the fine print, says the Gemara, peri the tefillah miyasmat. Only time you're not allowed to be mafresh shumas u'maisras on Yontif is if these peiros were already tevel before Yontif. Avol peri the tefillah ha'idna. But if the peiros would become tevel on Yontif itself, kagoyin, what's an example? And this is something the Gemara talked about in detail earlier in the Masechta. Isa, do, la frisha mina chala mafreshino. You're allowed to be mafresh chala from do that became chayiv and chala on Yontif. The avina l'koyin, even allowed to give it to a koyin on Yontif. And the reason is because ein ben Yontif l'shabes ela oichel nefesh b'vad. And just like you're allowed to bake the dough, you're also allowed to be mafresh chala from the dough. The issur de rabbanon of being mafresh trumas u'maisras is not more chomer than the issur de raisa that you're allowed to do with it. So why then can I be mafresh trumas u'maisras? Because trumas u'maisras, what makes the peiros chayiv and trumas u'maisras is something that happened already before Yontif. So being that it happened before Yontif, so you could have done it before Yontif. As a result, you don't do it on Yontif. Even with real melachas leichel nefesh, if I could have done it before Yontif, you don't always have the right to do it on Yontif. As opposed to chala, in the event that I needed the dough on Yontif, so it first became chayiv and chala on Yontif, in that case, you'd be allowed to give it on Yontif. Not just that, the avin on the kohen, I could even give it to the kohen, which was also a whole sugya earlier in the Masechta about not only being mafresh trumas or maestros on Yontif, but giving it to the kohen, that's a whole nother deal. But zok the Gemara, that's something that you would be allowed to do as well. So the Gemara now is going to revisit the Mishnah. So the Mishnah mentioned that anything that's asim the rabbanon on Shabbos is also asim the rabbanon on Yontif. And the Mishnah divided all these isurim into three groups: shvus, rishus, and mitzvah. We explained yesterday and again today what these three things mean. But the truth is that the way we're explaining the word shvus is a little bit of a misnomer. Because throughout Shas and every Gemara, besides for the sugya we're learning right now, the word shvus means issur d'rabbanan. It doesn't matter if that issur d'rabbanan involves something that is completely voluntary. It doesn't matter if that thing has a lachluchas of mitzvah. It doesn't matter if it's a mitzvah gemura. Anything that the rabbanan said you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to do. So, for example, you're not allowed to take dalut minimah on sukkahs. That's a shvus. It involves a mitzvah. L'kachtem l'chem b'yayim arishayim. But if it's something that's asa midrabanan, we use the word shvus. That is just the proper word in the vernacular to describe what you're doing. But in our Gemara, the word shvus means something else. Shvus means something that's asam midrabanan that doesn't involve any tzad mitzvah. If it's asam midrabanan and involves a tzad mitzvah, we call it a reshus. If it's asam midrabanan and it involves a mitzvah gemura, we call it a mitzvah. So just the terminology, the definitions of the words in our Mishnah are a little bit of an aberration. It's not usually the way you define it. Now, the way we explained it is the way Rashi explained it, and it's based on the maskana of the Gemara we're about to learn. But now we're going to revisit the language of the Mishnah in real time. Again, it's going to end up exactly where it started, but the Gemara is going to just struggle a little bit to understand how you read the Mishnah. Kol shechayav and olav mishum shvus, mishum reshus, mishum mitzvah. And the Gemara asks the obvious question. Vahani mishum reshus ikum mishum shvus leka? What the second category, the reshuses, are not shvusin? Vahani mishum mitzvah ikum mishum shvus leka? And the third category, the ones that the Mishnah refers to as a mitzvah, are they not a shvus? Everything mentioned in the Mishnah, we had examples. They're all things that are awesome in the Rabbah. It means they're all shvusin. So what does it mean? Only the first category is a shvus, the second not, only reshus, the third not, only a mitzvah. So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak, explain. Let me buy your comment. The way you read the Mishnah is like this. Let me buy a shvus greatest of the aser. Let me buy a shvus greatest of something that's purely voluntary, doesn't involve a mitzvah at all, is aser. Afilu shvus de rishus nami aser. Even something that involves a little bit of a mitzvah, but if it's a shvus, meaning you can't do it on Shabbos, you also won't be able to do it on Yom Tov. Let me buy a shvus de rishus aser, and not only something that you're not allowed to do with the rabbanon that involves a little bit of a mitzvah, can't you not do on Shabbos? Afilu shvus de mitzvah nami aser. Even if it's a shvus de mitzvah, you also won't be able to do it. This is slightly convoluted, but that's the point, and really the maskana is the way we started. What came to mind just learning this Mishnah is the Vilna Gaon and the Maaser Rav that we spoke out so many times when we learned Masechtas Pesachim, and even since then we've spoken it out. And that is, the Gemara says in Masechtas Pesachim in two places that Matzah, the first day of Yontif, is a mitzvah, but the rest of Yontif, Matzah is a reshus, which sounds like there's no mitzvah whatsoever in the world to eat matzah on the rest of Pesach. But the Vilna Gaon Ki Yadua said that when the Gemara says reshus, it's just relative. Relative to mitzvah, achilas matzah kol shiv is a reshus. But don't think that eating matzah is like eating katofel. No. If you eat katofel, whatever. If you eat matzah, you mekayim a mitzvah. There's just no chiyuv. The first night of Pesach, be'erev toichel matzah, is a mitzvah to eat a kezayis, do kezayis, but there's a mitzvah, be'erev toichel matzah. The rest of Pesach, it's a reshus klapi mitzvah. But really, where do you find such a concept? Where do you find that Chazal would use the word reshus, and it means a shtikel mitzvah? This Mishnah. There's shvus, there's reshus, and this mitzvah, I don't have the Maaser Rav in front of me right now, but l'chura, this Mishnah is the makar to this idea of the Vilna Gaon, that sometimes the word reshus can mean a ktsas mitzvah. Either way, kol elu biyantif amru v'chulu, says the Gemara. So the Mishnah ended and said, ein ben yantif l'shabbos, elo oichel nefesh bovat. So there's no chilek between Shabbos and Yontif. We need a v'chulu in the Gemara. Kol elu v'yontif amru v'chulu, because really the Gemara is going to focus on the last line. So, im ben Yontif l'Shabbos, elu l'oichol nefesh b'vat. What's the difference between Shabbos and Yontif? So this is at the end of the Masechta, but this is something we spoke at in the introduction to the Masechta, because it really underpins the entire Masechta's Beya. You're not allowed to do Lamatas Malachas on Shabbos, you can't do Lamatas Malachas on Yontif. However, you have to read the not such fine print. On Yontif, you're allowed to do any Malachas Oichel Nefesh. Read the Gemara Vriminu. I'll ask you a kasha. It's again one of the most famous lines in Mishnayos. Ein bein Yontif l'Shabbos ela Oichel Nefesh b'vad. And the Gemara says, I have a bomb kasha. A kasha from a Mishnah Masechta's Beya. A Mishnah in the Perek that we're learning right now. It's the opening line of the fifth Perek of Masechtas Beya. How did the Perek begin? Meshilim peiros derech aruba b'yontif avaloi b'shabbos. You're allowed to take peiros that are up on a roof, where it's starting to rain, it looks like your peiros are maybe going to get ruined. As long as it doesn't involve that much tercha, you want to lower it into your house through a skylight, that's something that you're allowed to do on yontif. It's not something that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Freit Gemara, I just found you an example of something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, but you're allowed to do on Yontif. Now, the truth is, this is not an issue of a deraisa, it's a tircha question, which is only awesome at the Rabbanon, but when the Mishnah says, ein ben Yontif l'Shabbos, el loichel nefesh b'vad, it sounds like even on the Rabbanon level. That's the whole theme of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying all the shvusim of Shabbos apply to Yontif as well. The only difference is loichel nefesh. What do you mean? What happened to the Mishnah in the beginning of the Perek. Mashilin Peiros, Derech Haruba Biyantiv, Avaloi B'Shabbos. And just to clarify one point, it's obvious, but it's worth clarifying, the halach of Mashilin Peiros, Derech Haruba Biyantiv, Avaloi B'Shabbos has nothing to do with Eichel Nefesh. Even though it's talking about Peiros, so for the second, it could be misleading. But it has nothing to do with Eichel Nefesh. If there's Eichel Nefesh, it would be fine. The issue is that it's raining. Your Peiros are going to get ruined. It was a question of Hefsin Mamoid. It had nothing to do with Eichel Nefesh. So this is a Chumrah that you find in Shabbos, that you don't have in Yontif, that has nothing to do with Eichel Nefesh. Granted, it's Midrabanan, but the Mishnah says, Ein mein Yontif l'Shabbos afilu Midrabanan. El Eichel Nefesh v'vad. This is the Gemara's Kasha. Om Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, like Kasha. Maybe you can say that HaRab Eliezer, HaRab Yeshua, one Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Eliezer, the other Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yeshua. So who's this Rabbi Eliezer? Who's this Rabbi Yeshua? And this is also something that we had briefly earlier in the Masechta. The Tanya we learned to the Braisa, Oisei Ves Benoish, Nafal Dabar. You had two animals, a mother and a child, or maybe a father and a child, that it's maybe because that's a sugi masechta schulin. If you choishish in lezera ha'av when it comes to animals, but either way, oisei vespenoish and aflu labar. If you had a mother and a child that fell into a pit, it's yontif, and you want to take the animal out because you don't want the animal to die or to be harmed and to be bitzar. The problem is taking the animal out of the pit involves tircha. Now there's an eitz. You can take the animal out, shecht it. That's something you're allowed to do. So it's going to come out that you pulling the animal out of the bar was the tzarech eichel nefesh, in which case it's going to be fine. But you can't take both animals out. The reason is because you can't shech both animals, because there's a lav in the Torah. So one, yeah, but the other one, l'churi, you shouldn't be able to do. So the question is there an eitz? Is there a workaround? Is there some strategy that you can employ to try to figure out a way to get both animals out? So it was a machloikis, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer, said, Maila Sarishon, you can take the first one out, Amanas L'Shoichtoi, V'Shoichtoi, that's fine, that one you take out, as long as you intend to use it for your Suda, it's Eichel Nefesh, that's okay. V'Asheni Oislai Parnasavim Koimai Kadesh L'Yomas, and the other one you can't pull out, it's too much tercha to schlep an animal out of a pit. What you could do is, you could feed it, you can lower it a few Sudas, Oislai Parnusa, you can give it what it needs, but in terms of pulling it out, that's not something you could do. Rabbi Yeshua said, no. You can do better than that. My list, Rishon Amanasal Shaykh. You can take the first one out with the intention that you're going to shecht it. Ve'enu shaychtoi. And then when you look at it, say, you know what? I'm not really interested in shechting it. V'chayzer umarim, emphasis on marim. And what you do is you wink, wink, and you say that, you know what? I decided this other one is better. Umayla, hasheni, you take the other one out. And then rotzazer shaychit, rotzazer shaychit. Meaning, even though you know that maybe the first one really is good, but b'derech harama, you're allowed to end up taking both out. So what do you see from here? You see there was a machloikis, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, whether you're allowed to engage in tircha on yontif. That's really the shaila. Now, avada, you're not allowed to. But there was machloikis, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, how machmer we are versus how meko we are. Rabbi Eliezer was machmer, clearly. Rabbi Eliezer said, you can't do the harama to take out the second animal. Rabbi Yeshua was meko. Rabbi Yeshua said, you could do the harama to take out the other animal. So Zokta Gemara, maybe that's the hezber in the machloikis. The Mishnah that said, Meshilim Peiros Derech Haruba Biyantiv, that's going according to Rabbi Yeshua, who's meko when it comes to Terech Biyantiv. The Mishnah that said, Ein Ben Yantiv L'Shabbos El Eichel Nefesh Bilvad, is going according to Rabbi Eliezer. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, there is no difference in Yontif and Shabbos. Just like on Shabbos, you wouldn't be able to do a Tirchi Yaseira. On Yontif also, you wouldn't be able to do a Tirchi Yaseira. So the Gemara says, I hear it's a steer between the two Mishnayas, but maybe, one Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, the other Mishnah is Rabbi Yeshua. But Amalei Abaya, so Abaya told who? Rav Yosef. So Abaya said, Nimai, what's the Raya? Do Matkan, come Rabbi Eliezer Hassan. Maybe when Rabbi Eliezer said the Halacha, no Tircha, you have to leave the second animal, El Dafshe B'Parnasa, because there's a plan B. Meaning, the animal's not going to die. There's a hefsid mum and a little bit of a hefsid. But there's a workaround. What you can do is you can feed it veer, and as a result, there won't be a hefsid at all. And therefore, it's not going to be an issue. But over here, if your parents are up on your roof and they're about to get ruined in the rain, where there is no workaround, there's no other option, maybe even here, Rabbi Eliezer would allow you to be mashil and parents there, haruba, inami, or at kalakam Rabbi Shua. So when Rabbi Shua said you can do it, that's their eldaf shila rume, where you could do it with a harama, where the innocent bystander who sees you doing this doesn't necessarily chab you doing a terchi yaseir, because he actually thinks that you were being ernst and erlich. He thought you wanted the first one and then you decided you really want the second one. But if you start taking your peiros, you're throwing it through your sunlight, over there, there is no Arama, so like, maybe there wouldn't be okay. In other words, the tzushtel of the machloikis, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, to the Mishnah, Meshil and Peres, Derech Harubas, Harabaya, is lav dafkin good tzushtel. So the Gemara says, Omer Rapapa. So Rapapa said, maybe you can answer the steer a little bit differently. Again, what's the steer? Ain't beyantel the Shabbos, Eloichel Nefesh Bavad. I, what do you mean? The Mishnah, Meshil and Peres, Derech Harubas, beyantif, avaloi b'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, it's not a kasha, ha be shamai, ha be selol. Our Mishnah is going according to be shamai. And the previous Mishnah is going according to Beis Halel. The time we learned in the Mishnah, Mishnah said, "Emay tzin loyes hakatan, v'loyes halulav, v'loyes sefer Torah l'rishus harabim." You're not allowed to take not a katan, not a lulav, not a sefer Torah, and carry it into rishus harabim. U'beisul matirim, beisul says you're allowed to. So this is one of the most important Mishnayos in Masechet Tzibeya, the Mishnah Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah mentioned the machlokes b'sham beisul, whether you say mitoich. Or you don't say mitaych. Beisul says any malacha that you're allowed to do letzayrach eichel nefesh, you're allowed to do even shaloi letzayrach eichel nefesh as long as there's a tzayrach and that tzayrach is shavel eichel nefesh. Because Beisul says mitaych shutner malacha letzayrach eichel nefesh shutner not mitshaloi letzayrach eichel nefesh. Beishamai argues and Beishamai says that you don't say mitaych. So what's an example? Am I allowed to carry something on yontif that's not letzayrach eichel nefesh? Beishamai says no. If you want to carry food, that's letzayrach eichel nefesh. But if you want to carry a katan, a lulav, a sefer Torah to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, you can't do it. Beis Hillel says it's mutter. Beis Hillel says that you are allowed to do it. Okay, so the Gemara is arguing, Sedra Papa, maybe the Mishnah that said Meshil and Peres Derech Haru V'yantav Alei B'Shabbos is only true according to Beis Hillel. Maybe Beis Shammai would have been machmer. Because maybe Beis Shammai would be afraid that if you're going to start taking your peres and carrying it from the roof into the house, derech haruba, maybe you can end up carrying it into the Rosh Hashanah. And if you carry it into the Rosh Hashanah, then you are mechal yantav. Beis Hillel is not worried about that. Because Beis Hillel holds that you're allowed to carry peiros, even shaloi letzayrach eichel nefesh on yantiv, because he holds of mitaych. You can carry a katan, a sefer Torah luv, you can carry peiros, shaloi letzayrach eichel nefesh. So the Mishnah that says, Meshil and peiros, derech haruba v'yantiv, avalei b'shabbos, that's going according to Beis Hillel. He's not worried about some outcome where you may end up carrying in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. Beis Shammai is worried. So Beis Shammai is worried, Beis Shammai wouldn't hold it halacha. Beis Shammai wouldn't hold it halacha. So the Mishnah says, ein ben yantiv l'shabbos, elo, oichel nefesh bilvad, but the Gemara says, it's not muchach, because I can't come with Beis Shammai hasam elah hoitza. Maybe all Beis Shammai said was, is he not allowed to carry? Avol tiltul loy. He said you're not allowed to be metaltal. You're maybe extending Beis Shammai's halacha too far. Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to carry in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim something that's not shalei l'tzorich oichel nefesh. That means I can't take peiros and carry it from my roof into my house? That's not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but the Gemara says, no, atu tiltul lav tzorich oitza. At the end of the day, once you're carrying something, there's always a concern. You can end up carrying in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So it's mestaber that maybe Beis Shammai would not agree with Halacha the Mishnah. But mainly you have a steer between two Mishnayis. So the Mishnah on Lamed Hey Amid Beis, Mishil and Peres Teich Haru V'yantav is going according to Beis Hillel. And the Mishnah on Lamed Vav Amid Beis that says, Ein Ben Yantav L'Shabbos Elo Eichel Nefesh Bavad is going according to Beis Shammai. Which according to Rapapa is very interesting because maybe the most famous Mishnah in Shas, I mean, it's definitely in the conversation. Ein ben yantav l'shabbos, elo oichel nefesh bavad is really who? It's shitas Beis Shammai. It's because of a technicality. Aliba de Beis Hillel, there is another nafgamina, meshilim peiros derech haruba b'yantav avaloi b'shabbos. But at the same time, it comes out that ein ben yantav l'shabbos, elo oichel nefesh bavad. Rav Sholi Greenwald texted me that maybe lefi zeh, that's the teretz to the Ara on Rashi on the top of the Amid. Because the Mishnah again said, the Isle Isha Ubanim. And we spoke yesterday that, what does it mean, the Isle Isha Ubanim? Shnei Scharim Lebe Shammai, Rashi said, Oizachrin Lekeva Lebe Silel. And we asked the beautiful Ara of the Chedvas Moshe. And that is, that what do you mean, Shnei Scharim Lebe Shammai? Why are we handling shit as Be Shammai? Beis Shammai b'machem Beis Hillel ain't a Mishnah. The Teretz says this Mishnah, at least the last line of the Mishnah, is Beis Shammai. The Gemara just made an Akimta. Ein ben yantav l'shabbos, elo oichel nefesh bovad. It's Shitas Beis Shammai. So no, if the Mishnah Shitas Beis Shammai, so it's very good why the Mishnah would have mentioned Shnei Schorim l'Beis Shammai, Aliba l'Beis Shammai. Either way, Zok the Mishnah Vayter. So the next Mishnah is where Hilchas Yontif, where Masechtes Beya, meets the laws of Tchumen. So it feels a little intimidated. But it's where Beya meets Erevin, specifically the laws of Tchumen. So let's just very, very quickly chazer the basic premise of the laws of Tchumen. One of the Isurim that a person is bound by on Shabbos and Yontif is, you're not allowed to go outside the Tchum. So you think of a Tchum, Alpayim Amma, a mill. But the truth is, what it really means is that a person has his Mokim, where he is on Shabbos, where he is on Yontif. The laws of Tchumen say that you're allowed to go anywhere in your makom, plus
In addition to your makom, you can go alpayim amos l'chol ruach. So, for example, if you spend Shabbos in a city, you can walk throughout the entire city. Doesn't matter how big or small the city is. You can walk throughout the entire city. Additionally, once you get to the outskirts of the city, you can walk another 2,000 amos l'chol ruach. If you spend Shabbos in a field, in a midbar, you're not in any particular specific location, then you have dalad amos, plus you can go alpayim amos l'chol ruach. But the halacha of Tchumen states that a person has his makom, and you're allowed to go up until 2,000 amos l'chol ruach. What happens if a person wants to go more than 2,000 amos l'chol ruach? So there's an eitz. The eitz is you can make an eirev. It's called eruve techumen. So you have eruve chatzeros, which is the majority of Masechtas Eirevin. You have eruve tavshilin, which feels like a long time ago, but that was the second perek here in Masechtas Beya, perek yontif. And then you have an eirev techumen. So the eirev techumen is for somebody that wants to go more than alpayim amos. The eitz is that you take food before Shabbos and you put it someplace. That place where your food is considered to be the place that you are quote-unquote koine shvisa. That's your makom for the Shabbos. Which means, instead of having alpayim amos l'chol ruach from your house or from your city, you're now going to have alpayim amos l'chol ruach from that place where you set up shop. As long as the food is there, bein hashmashes, because bein hashmashes is when the kinyan shvisa takes place, that's when the Erev goes into effect. The halach is you get alpayim amos l'chol ruach not from where you are in the beginning of Shabbos, but rather from where your food is. As it relates to the iser tchumen, there was a major machloikis tanoim, whether tchumen's deraisa or tchumen's derabonin. Ruba de ruba of the tanoim and Shas held that tchumen was derabonin. Or however, tanoim, Beroshim Rabbi Akiva, who holds that tchumen's deraisa. Now, if tchumen's derabonin, you can understand how Erev tchumen works. If tchumen's deraisa, so it's a little bit more of a struggle to understand how tchumen works. The Ramban talks about it in Masechtas, Erev and Daf Yudzayin, Amid Beis, obviously, ve'inkam mekoy me laharach. But either way, the Gemara now is going to discuss laws of tchumen. And again, why are we talking about tchumen? It's very pasha. We're learning Hilchos Yontif. And on Yontif, the laws of tchumen apply. Zok Mishnah, ha-behema v'akelim k'ragle habaylim. Just like a person is bound by his tchum, his animal, and his kelim are bound by the laws of tchumen as well. Now, what's the tchum of a behemoth? What's the tchum of a keli? It takes on the tchum of its owner. So wherever the owner is allowed to go on Shabbos and Yontif, that's where the owner's behemoth, the owner's kelim, are allowed to go on Shabbos and Yontif. If somebody has a behemoth and he gives his behemoth to his son or to his raya, he wants his son to watch the behemoth. He wants the raya to watch the behemoth. Hare elu karagli abaylam. The Gemara is going to talk about this, but it takes on the tchum of the baylam. Meaning, it doesn't take on the tchum of the son or the raya. Rather, it takes on the tchum of the baylam. Kelim am yuchadim lechem en achin, shne babayis. Let's say there's a family that lives in a house, and one of the members of the household owns a keli. So the halacha is kelim hamiyuchadim le'echem enachin. If this child is the exclusive owner, so to speak, he uses this, and only he uses this, harei ulukaraglov. So then the halacha is that that keli is going to take on the tchum of that particular brother. But let's say you have something that everybody uses, meaning there's a bunch of brothers and they all share this keli. So then it takes on the tchum of everybody, which means it's bound by everybody's tchum. So if there's an area that everybody's allowed to go to, then you can take it there. If, however, every person has different tchumin, so then you would have to be very careful before you move this keli, because it takes on l'chumra everybody's tchum. Hashoyel keli mechaveiro. If somebody borrows a keli from his family, erev yontif, if he borrows it on erev yontif, kragli hashoyel. So then it takes on the tchumen of the shoyel. But yontif, if he borrows it on yontif, kragli hamashal, it takes on the tchum of the mashal. And the reason is because when does tchumen go into effect? We mentioned it in our short introduction, bein hashmashas. So really, depending on where the keli was bein hashmashas, that's going to dictate whose tchum the keli is going to have. So if the shoyl borrowed it on Erev Yontif, so it's karagli ha-shoyl. If the shoyl borrowed it on Yontif, it's karagli ha-mashal. V'chein isha sheshola mechaverta tavlin umayim umelach li'sasa. A woman that borrowed from her chaverta spices, water, salt, and she wants to put it into her food. And then she took it, and she was kneading dough on Yontif, and she mished it into the dough. Hareyulu karagli shneim. Says the Mishnah that this challah has two tchumen. It has the tchum of the woman, the balabusta that made the challah, but it also has the tchum of the person that she borrowed the tavlin and the mayim and the melech from. And it's talking about where she borrowed it on Yontif. Being that she borrowed it on Yontif, so bein hashmashes, it belonged to the mashal. So we just said the halacha. It takes on the ragli hamashal. So the halacha is that you have now a taruva. So you have part of this bread, part of the challah is the tchum of the shayl. Part of the challah is the tchum of the mashal. Rabbi Yehuda says, poitim b'mayim neisha'im b'mamish. That if you have water, no, water doesn't have it. Meaning once the water gets eingebacked, literally, with the challah, so now the water doesn't have its own identity anymore, it's bottled to the challah. What about the tavlin? What about the melech? So the Gemara is going to talk about that. Zok the Gemara. So again, a lot of halachas, very straightforward as it relates to tchumen, and the Gemara now is going to begin its analysis of the Mishnah. Zok the Gemara. Arishin Rishin, Masnisin like Rab Doisa. The Mishnah is not like Rab Doisa. Now the Mishnah said a lot of things. So which part of the Mishnah is not like Rab Doisa? So again, we need help from Rashi. Rashi says the last line. Diktani, the Mishnah said, Hamoiser behemta l'roya b'yantiv. If somebody gives a behema to a roya on yantiv, hare elu kiragle habailim, v'loy kiragle haraya. It's the second line of the Mishnah. Hamoiser behemta l'roya. Somebody gives his behema to his son. He gave it to a pastich. Hare elu kiragle habailim. The halach is it takes on the tchumen of the bailim. In other words, it's bound by the tchum of the owner, not by the tchum of the roi. Now, it's pashut, it's talking about, based on finishing the Mishnah now, where that happened on Yontif itself. That's what Rashi says. Hamoyse behemtei l'roya b'yontif. Because if it happened before Yontif, then ben hashmashes, so it would have been in the possession already of the child and the roya, so it would have taken on his tchum. But again, the point is, just to be clear, because this is going to take up the first part of the Amud Beis. Hamoyse behemtei, if someone gives over his animal to his son or to his roya on Yontif, it's bound by whose tchum? Hareul karagle habaylon. Zok digamar, that's like Rab Doisa. The Tanya, we learned in a brayse, Rab Doisa said, v'amri lo, some say Abishalim. It was Abishal that said, alkech mechaver be'er v'yantav. Somebody buys a behemoth from his friend, erev yantav. Avu bishalim masra le'el b'yantav. Even though he only gave it to my yantav, hareul karagle alkech. So if I purchased it erev yantav, it doesn't matter when I got it, I purchased it, so it's already mine. Bein hashmashes, it's my shvisa, and as a result, it's karagle habaylim, it's the buyers. But we need the next part. If somebody hands over a behema to a raya, even though he gave it to my yantiv, harehi karagle haraya. Clear. Even though you handed it over when beyantiv, it takes on the tchum of the raya. It's not like the Mishnah. Mishnah said very clearly and blatantly, not that way. The Mishnah says, you give it to a raya, it's karagli abaylim. Rab Doisa said that it's karagli a raya. So the Gemara says, my season like Rab Doisa, but the Gemara is doichet. No, filotem Rab Doisa. Maybe really the Mishnah is Rab Doisa, but like Kasha, aye, how do you reconcile what Rab Doisa said with what the Mishnah said? Kam b'raya echad, kam b'shnei raya. Rab Doisa is talking about whether it was one raya. This person was inevitably going to take his animal, give it to a raya, because he's not watching it himself. So that's something that he was going to do. And there was one raya in town. As a result, we knew which raya he was going to give it to. See, even if he doesn't give it to him until Yontif, this is a chiddush, but being that he's oimed to give it to him, so we knew already this was going to happen, and as a result, Bein Hashmashes, when Kinyan Shvisa went into effect, when the laws of Tchumen went into effect, it went Kiragle HaRaya. However, our Mishnah is talking about where there were two Rayim. If there were two Rayim, so Bein Hashmashes, he had two choices. I can give it to this Raya, I can give it to that Raya. Being that we don't know which Raya necessarily was going to go. See, if he gave it to him before Yontif, but if he didn't give it to him before Yontif, on Yontif itself, it's then going to end up being Kiragle HaBailim. And the Gemara says, Dekonami, even though it's an Aikimta, right, some Aikimtas are more dachok, some Aikimtas are more meduyak. Dekonami is when the Gemara makes an Aikimta and a Mishnah, but the Gemara says this is not a dachok diga Aikimta, this is a dekonami diga Aikimta. Right, not all Aikimtas were created equally. The Gemara very often makes Aikimtas to wiggle out of situations, but sometimes we understand it's a dachok. Sometimes it's so dachuk, it's chasure mechzer of a hachitani, we have to literally reconstruct the whole Mishnah and the whole Braisa. But sometimes the Gemara makes an Aikimta, which at first glance raises an eyebrow, but really if you look at the Mishnah more carefully, it's actually very, very mashma that way. So that's what a dekanami is. And the Gemara says, dekanami, this is very mashma that way. Because dektani, what did the Mishnah say? Lebnai oilaraya. It says he gave it to his son or to his roya. It sounds like he had two choices. I can give it to my son, I can give it to my raya. So dekanami, the Gemara says, why the b'noi? Just say you gave it to a raya. What's the b'noi ul raya? So it sounds like the Mishnah went out of its way to add a word, which the Mishnah never does, right? Once we're talking about what the Mishnah does and doesn't do. So why l'bnoyoy l'raya? It's a difference if it's a son or if it's a raya. The Teretz says we want to say that he really had two choices. He gave it to one. Oh, then the halacha is that it's karagle habaylam. But if all it was a raya, then maybe the Mishnah would be, even like Rav Doisa, it would be okay. Shmamina. This is a shmamina also. Clear from the Mishnah, it's mashma, that it's talking about where there were two raya. Rav Doisa maybe is talking about where there was raya echad. As a result, you can make Rav Doisa shim with the Mishnah. So, the Gemara. The Gemara is going to repeat this exchange in a different context. Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabba Bar Bar Chana said in the name of the great Rabbi Yochanan, Halachik Rab Doisa. So he said over this Braisa, what did Rab Doisa say? If someone gives over a behemoth to a Raya on Yontif, Talachas Areyu Kiragli Haraya. And Rabbi Yochanan got up and he said, Halachik Rab Yochanan. V'alachik Rab Doisa. Wait, you might be Rabbi Yochanan. Hach, it can't be. How could Rabbi Yochanan have said halachas like Rab Doisa? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan has a cloud throughout Shas. Halachik is Stam Mishnah. That whenever there's a Stam Mishnah, we pass like the Stam Mishnah. Not everybody holds halachik is Stam Mishnah. It's Rabbi Yochanan that holds halachik is Stam Mishnah. But Rabbi Yochanan said halachik is Stam Mishnah. V'tanan, and our Stam Mishnah said, Abehemav Akelim Karagli Abaylim. And here too we need a V'chulu. We need mean the next line, where it says that if you give over the behemoth to a raya, oyla b'nai, hareo karagli abaylam, which is not Rab Doisa. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say, halachik Rab Doisa, halachik is Stam Mishnah, and the Stam Mishnah is not like Rab Doisa? So the Gemara gives the same teretz. V'lav oikimna, I mean, isn't that what we just said? Kam b'roya echad, kam mishnei raya. The Mishnah is talking about there were two raya. Dekanami b'nai oyla raya, shmamina. The Braisa is talking about maybe when it was raya echad, it was raya echad. Therefore, it's going to be different. Zok the Gemara. More on this now. Tanu Rabbanu, shnayim sheshalu, chaluk echad b'shutves. Two people borrowed something together b'shutves. So again, we're dealing with a shayel mashal situation as it relates to tchumen. But over here, you don't have one shayel, you have two shayels. So one shayel wanted this chaluk, he wanted this rekel, so he can take it to Beis Medrash in the morning. V'zeh, the other one, was likanes by arvis l'beis hamishta. He wants to go in a completely different direction. He's taking it to the Beis HaMishnah. He's going in the evening. He made his Erev Letzofen. He made his Erev Ledarim. This is Mamish. They're heading in completely opposite directions, figuratively and in every way. Says the Braisa, Zesh Erev Letzofen, Mahalach Letzofen, Karag Lamisha Erev Ledarim. Vezesh Erev Ledarim, Mahalach Ledarim, Karag Lamisha Erev Letzofen. Meaning, they made different chumen, which means that this rekel is mamish torn between two worlds. So where could you take it? So if there's an area that both tchumen overlap, then the halacha is you could take it to that area. If there's no area where they both overlap, meaning the emitzu es hatchum, then hareza lo yezizanimim kaima, then you won't be able to take it. So again, to obviously better appreciate this line in Gemara, you have to get into Erevin a little bit, but the point is, sometimes two Erevin, even if they're in opposite directions, can overlap. Sometimes they can't overlap. See, if they overlap, then you can take it to that common area. The point is that the Shayel is the one that dictates the Shvisa. Over here, you have two Shayels. I mean, they have two Shayels, so you have to make sure that it's going to work with both. What would be if two people didn't borrow something together, but two people purchased something together? So you have two partners, they bought something together. On Erev Yontif, obviously, can't buy in Yontif. So they bought a chavis, or they bought a behema b'shutfas. The chavis had wine inside of it, and the behema is a behema. And the idea was that on Yontif, they're going to go and they're going to divide it. They're going to divvy it up. I'm going to take half the wine. You're going to take half the wine. I'm going to take half the behema, and you're going to take half the behema. And we're trying to figure out now, from a shvisa perspective, what's the halacha. So again, they purchased a barrel of wine, they purchased the behema together b'shutfas before Yontif. Obviously, the shvisa is going to be determined based on the lekeach. This is easy. It's not a question of a shoyl and a mashal. We're not dealing with a roya. We're dealing with a flat-out mekach hamemkar. So over here, the buyer is going to be the one that's going to determine. So what's tricky about this case? Why is this going to take us until the end of the daf? It's because what we're dealing with is a situation where you have one entity that two people own. I have one chavis of yayin, but Reuven owns half of it, and Shimon owns half of it. I have one behema, but Reuven owns some of it, and Shimon owns some of it. Reuven and Shimon made different chumen. They have different cheshbonos in their world of calculations of eruv to chumen. So the question is, what do you do with this behema? What do you do with this chavis? Here's the next question. Once they divide it, They take the chavis, this is yours and this is yours. They take the behemoth, this is yours and this is yours. Now what? Do we say that once it's divided, so for sure, this is my chelik, this is your chelik, I'll have my chelik go based on my tchum, and you'll have your chelik go based on your tchum. That's what the Gemara is going to talk about right now. Now, without seeing the Gemara, what muschar rishon comes to mind? A hard sugya, brera. Right, that's what muschar rishon comes to mind. Because really, when they bought this, they bought it with the intention of dividing it. They didn't divide it until Yontif. But once they divide it, if you hold Yesh Breira without the whole introduction, Huvra Dovel Mafreya, Igloi Milsel Mafreya, maybe, that I bought this and you bought that. Which means that when Bein Hashmashes came and there was a Kinyan Shvisa that went into effect, Ruvain's Chelik went based on his Chelik and Shimon's Chelik went based on his Chelik. And even though at the time of Bein Hashmashes it hadn't been divided yet and it wasn't determined yet what was going to be Ruvain's and what was going to be Shimon's. But Yesh Breira says that later you can do something that will retroactively trigger a yediyah that we didn't have in real time. So when they go and they divide the barrel of wine, when they go and they divide the behemoth, say, Gloy Milsalam Afrey, that Reuven had his chelik and Shimon had his chelik. If you hold Ein Breira, however, you would have no ability to do that. So at first glance, it feels like this should be telling the sugi in Breira. And the truth is, it is. And the Gemara from here, really, until the end of the daf, is going to discuss, as it does in many places in Shas, the very elusive sugya of Breira. Sazak de Gemara. Again, two people, Bishutfis, bought a barrel of wine. Two people, Bishutfis, bought a behemoth. And then they divided it on Yontif. So they bought it before Yontif. On Yontif, they divided. Rav Amar Rav said, Chavis Muteres, U Behema Asura. The Chavis is Muteres, meaning each person is allowed to take the Chavis, his chelik of wine, to the place of his Erev, but the behema is going to be Asura, meaning the behema you're only allowed to take to a place that both people were Ma'ar. So if there's a place that overlaps, both people are allowed to take it there, then you can move the behema there. The Chavis, no, the Chavis, each one gets to do his own thing. Shmuel HaMashmuel said Chavis Nami Asura. Now you can't take the behema unless it's to a common area. You can't take the Chavis either to a common area. So Gemara says, Maika Savar Rav. What is Rav hold? Ika Savar Yesh Breira. If Rav holds Yesh Breira, fill the behema Tishteri, then even the behema you should be able to take each person to his own place. Ika Savar Ein Breira. And if he holds Ein Breira, fill the Chavis Nami Asura, then you shouldn't be able to take the chavas either. Meaning, Bishlai Mishmul, I understand. Shmul obviously holds Ein Breira. And being that he holds Ein Breira, chavas nami asura. Even though you divided it, but it was never Gloy Milsalam Afrei. What was the matzav when you bought it? What was the matzav Bein Hashmoshes? The matzav was we owned the Bishutfis. Okay, so it takes on both of our Tchumen. And as a result, if there's a common area that we can both go to, Givaldi, if not, Lo Yasi Zenimim Kaima. Rav, however, is somehow differentiating between the wine and the animal. The Breira doesn't care if it's wine or it's an animal. Breira attacks the sugya in a very fundamental way. So, l'chura, manavshach. If Rav holds Yesh Breira, even the behema, and if he holds Ein Breira, I feel the chavis should be a problem. Really, Rav holds Yesh Breira. And that's why each person can take his chelik of the chavis wherever he wants to take it. If that's the case, why is the behema different? V'shanya behema, the behema is different. The koyanki tchume mehadavi. The Gemara says a major svara, ayin Rashi. But basically what the Gemara is saying is, that when it comes to the behema, it's not so simple to just say Breira, because it's true, Yesh Breira. So, Igloi Milsel Mafreya, this was my behema, that was your behema. But the reality of the situation is that even in your world of Breira, you can't deny that in the beginning of Yontif, at the time of Bein Hashmashes, this animal was one animal. And each chelik of the animal needed the other chelik of the animal. It needed it for survival. It was Yanki Mehadadi. So it comes out that my chelik of Yesh Breira was being yoinek on some level from the other one, which means on some level, it has a little bit of your inyan. Your inyan was bound by your tchum, and as a result, my thing, even though it's separate, and in Hilchas Lekucha and Chalukha, it's not the same, but at the same time, it has a little bit of your thing, which is bound by your tchum, and therefore it's going to be a problem. So Gemara says, "Amale Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi l'Rav." So Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi told Rav, "I don't understand. Isam muktzalei chashu, isam tchum chashu. If you're worried about this, meaning I hear this svar, major svar. You're telling me when it comes to this behemoth that we bought together, I can take it with." We can only carry it within the common tchum. Why? Because even though Yesh Breira is a glowing Muslim Afreya, that I had this part of the animal, you had that part of the animal, I had the pastrami, you had the corned beef. But at the end of the day, the pastrami was being yoinik from the corned beef, right? So on some level, every chelik of meat has in it a little bit of your tchum. But if you hold of that, then I don't think you should be able to eat it, period. Even if there is common area, you shouldn't be able to eat it. Forget about tchumen. There should be another problem, muktzah. Why? Because the assumption is that each shutif had in mind to eat his chalik, but he never had a mind to eat the other person's chalik. So if I have a little bit of yours, so why don't I have a little bit of muktzah? It says the Gemara Shasik Rav. Rav was quiet. What does Shasik Rav mean? We always speak out the Chavetz Yard that says that Rav had a teretz al pinister. Rav is Rab Abba from the Zohar HaKadosh. He had a teretz al pinister, but he didn't want to be Megala. Al pinigla, he was... But Alpinister, really, somehow, Rav could have been Mechalik between Muktzah and between Tchumen, very much above my pay grade. Zok de Gemara, my Havayelah. So what's the bottom line? So we have a Shail over here. You have two partners. They bought a Chavis, they bought a Behemah, B'Shutfis. B'Shas Ben Ashmashis, it was... In a shutfistic estate, then on Yontif they went ahead and divided it. So the question is, as it relates to Tchumen, the Chavis, and the Behemos, Machlekes, Rav and Shmuel, what's the bottom line? Rabbi Shaya Omar, Yesh Breira. Shaya holds Yesh Breira. If he holds Yesh Breira, you can carry. From Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Ein Breira, he holds Ein Breira. So you want to know what the bottom line is? Rabbi Shaya holds Yesh Breira, Rabbi Yochanan holds Ein Breira. And the Gemara from here until the end of the daf is going to discuss, is that true? Rabbi Shaya holds Yesh Breira. Is that true? Rabbi Yochanan holds Ein Breira. So we're going to start to a few of the Gemara's classic examples of Breira, right? Whenever you talk about Breira, so you know there are certain sugyas that are going to come up, not the same one in each discussion of Breira. The Gemara here is going to mention a few of the classics. So number one, Sabi Rabbi Shaya Yesh Breira. Does Rabbi Shaya hold Yesh Breira Vatanan? But we learned in a Mishnah in Mesechtes Aholis, and if this feels a little bit familiar, it's because we had a Le'il on Daf Yoram and Alf. So just quick background to this Mishnah in Mesechtes Aholis. We know that not all Tumah was created equally. Tumas Meis is unique, that it's Metama, not only if you come in direct contact with the Meis, but even if something's under the same oil, it's under the same roof as a Meis, even then it becomes Tame. There's another Halacha in Hilchas Tumas Meis, and in Hilchas Aholis, that says that if there's a mace inside a bayis, then all the psachim, all the entranceways are tameh as well. And the reason is because inevitably, at some point, you're going to remove the mace from the room. You're going to go derech one of the psachim. It's going to go out through one of the doors, which means that one of these doors have a shaychis now to the mace, and that's enough to say that all the doors, it's a chiddish, because you're not going to take it out all the doors, you only take it through one of them. But all the doors become tamei. So if there's something, a keli, for example, underneath the doorway, even though it's not underneath the oil mace, it's going to be tamei. If, however, the person knows for sure which Pesach he's going to take the mace out from, so then the halach is that could be matzel on all the other psachim. We could say that one is going to be tamei, but the other one's not. I mean, the only reasons all of them will be tamei is because they all have a shot. They all have a fighting chance that maybe that's going to be the Pesach that you're going to take the mace out. But if you know for sure which one it's going out, so that would save all the other ones. So that's the backdrop. So the Mishnah, a mace b'bayis, there was a mace inside the house, leib sachem harbi, there were many entranceways. Kulon tamei, they're all tamei, like we just said. Niftach echamiyam, if one of them was open, meaning all of them are closed, but one of them is open, who tamei? That's the one that's tamei. V'kulon tamei, and the rest are tar. Because we assume the one that's open, that's the one that you're going to take it out of. Chishev lo yitzia b'echamiyam. What happens if you had a machshavah, meaning they're all open and they're all closed, but you had a machshava to take it out of one, or you even had a mind to take it out of a window that has a dimension of 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. The halacha is that's matzelas al psachim kulon. That too could be matzel. So even if you only had a machshava, meaning they're all open or they're all closed, they're all the same. If you look at them physically, all the psachim look the same. But in your oylam machshava, you had a mind to take it out of one. That could be matzel. Who holds that way? Beisil b'shama yomer. No. That's the Mishnah. Beshami and Beshami says, Vushachich of Olav Achel Yom. The only time this is true is if you had the Machshava before the person died. But if you had the Machshava after the person died, then you're too late. Beisil and Beisil says, Af Mishayom Sameis. No, no. Even if you had the Machshava after the person died already, even then, that's going to be the halacha. Okay, so we have a Machlekes Beshami Beisil. If a person had a Machshava to take it out of one of the Psachim after the Meis died already, if it's Masl on all the other Psachim, Beshami says, no. Only if you had the Machshava before the person died. Beisil says, Af Mishayom Sameis. We learned on this. Amar Rabbi Shaya, the names matter. Rabbi Shaya said, "Litaher es hapsochem ikanu lahaba." That Rabbi Sol said that if you had a machshava, the halach is it's matzel on the psochem. It's only mikanu lahaba, meaning you had a machshava an hour after the maze died. So mikanu lahaba, only the Pesach that you had a machshava to take the mace out of is the one that's going to be tamei. So if you bring a keli now, you put it under one of the other psachim, it's going to be tahar. Abazok de Gemara, mikanu laba ilam afrei eloi. It's clearly inferred from what Rabbi Shaya said that the other psachim not. That if the thing was there before you had the machshava, then the halach is it's going to be tamei. The machshava helps mikanu lahaba. It doesn't help for the past. What's the Gemara's kasha? The bishloim if Rabbi Shaya holds ein breira. I understand. But if Rabbi Shaya holds yesh breira, why don't we say that now that I had a machshava to take the mace out of this Pesach, igloy milsel amafreya, that that was always the one I was going to take it out of. So even if there was something there before I had the machshava, per the chiddush, the institution of yesh breira, it should be as if I had the machshava earlier, and it should be matzel even from kelim that were underneath the Pesach before the mace died. Elamai, what do you see? Rabbi Shaya holds ein breira. How does it stand with what we just said? We just said as it relates to tchumin. My havi Allah. Rabbi Shaya amar yesh breira afraid to gemara. Is that true? V'sava Rabbi Shaya yesh breira. You see in the holos Rabbi Shaya holds ein breira. Samar says epoch. You're right. You have to switch it. Rabbi Shaya amar ein breira. Rabbi Yochanan amar yesh breira. Rabbi Shaya is the one that said ein breira as it relates to tchumin. Rabbi Yochanan is the one that said yesh breira. And if that's the case, it's Rabbi Shaya lishitasa. He holds ein breira in the holos. He holds ein breira in our sugi and tchumin as well. Afraid to want yisli Rabbi Yochanan breira. See, tell me, Rabbi Yochanan now is the one that holds Yesh Breira. That was the epoch. Two brothers that divided a Yerusha. Lekucha is saying, we look at them as if they purchased each one of their respective chalokim from the other brother. And it's subject to all the laws of Mekach HaMekra. So for example, certain fields have to go back to their original owner on Yoivel. So this Yerusha would go back to its original owner on Yoivel as well. So the case is very simple. A man died and he left over two sons, and the two sons divided a Yerusha. Now, before they divided the Yerusha, in theory, they both had a schus in the entire Yerusha. They sat down, they worked out a deal. You take this, I take that. I take that, you take this. And this is how they divided the Yerusha. The question is, in halach, in lamdas, how do you view this yachloiku that was made between the brothers? There's two ways to look at it. One way to look at it is that each brother had a schus tiyarshin from their father. There were two brothers, so they had to sort out what I'm going to get, what you're going to get. But once they sorted out the Yerusha, each one now got from the father directly as a Yairish. Just like if there was only one son, when he gets from his father, he gets it as a Yairish. If there's two sons, he also gets it as a Yairish. When there's two sons, they just have to sort it out a little bit. They need attorneys, right? They have to make it work. But at the end of the day, each one is going to get what he's supposed to get. And when he gets what he's supposed to get, he gets it as a direct Yerush from his father. But in love, this is another way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that really each brother gets everything. Narvas, being that there's two that got everything, so they have to work it out between each other. But there's another step in the transaction, just from a Chayshah Mishpah perspective, that says that each brother says, Reuven says, I'm going to sell a chelik to you, you're going to sell it to me. But there's some connection between the two brothers from a transactional perspective when they go ahead and do the Yerusha. So what should this be tali in? Really, it should be tali in Breira. If you hold Yesh Breira, then all we need to say is that when the brothers agree that this brother's going to get this and that brother's going to get that, Igloy Milsim afraid that that's what they yarshin. If you hold Ein Breira, you can't do that. So if you hold Ein Breira, you're forced to have a second step and say that there must be something that happens between the two brothers that is viewed in halacha as mekach hamemker. When Yoivel comes, if they got it as a Yairish, Yerusha doesn't go back by Yoivel. If they got it as a mekach hamemker, then it would go back on Yoivel. But the bottom line is, we don't need the case so much. We need the bottom line. The intish tashir is, Rabbi Yochanan said, that brothers that divided Yerusha, that lekuchais, umachzirin zelaz abayoivel, which is another way of saying, the Rabbi Yochanan holds, Ein Breira. So even if Rabbi Yochanan is the one that said Yesh Breira in our sugi, you still have a steer. Here Rabbi Yochanan holds Ein Breira. So the Gemara says, now here there's an eitz. V'chitim, less Rabbi Yochanan Breira b'day Raisa. Maybe when does Rabbi Yochanan hold Ein Breira? That's b'day Raisa. Yerusha is dine day Raisa. So maybe over there when Machmer we say Ein Breira. Aval b'day Rabbanon. But our sugi is Tchumen. Tchumen, almost everybody holds as the Rabbanon. So maybe over here he holds Yesh Breira. But the Gemara says, is that true? One more case. Ubi the Rabbanon, it me Islay. Does Rabbi Yochanan hold by the Rabbanon's Yesh Breira? V'tani ayoy. Ayoy was the name of a Tana. And Ayoy taught that Rabbi Yehuda holds Ein Adam Masna Al Shnei Dvarim Keach. So the context over here is where a person wanted to make an Erev Tchumen on Shabbos. But in the beginning of Shabbos, he wasn't really sure where he wanted to go. The exact case is there was a Chacham that was coming to town. He was going to give a drasha. This person really wants to hear the drasha. But he doesn't know if he's coming to the north of town or to the south of town. If he's going to the north, he wants his Erev Tchumen to be to the north because he needs the Erev to get to the Drasha. If he's coming to the south, he wants it to be to the south because he needs his Erev Tchumen to get to the Drasha. So what he did was he made an Erev to the north, he made an Erev to the south, and he said, whichever one he's going to go to, that's the place I want my Erev to work. That's the general context. This is a Mishnah Masechta Zeirvin. And the Mishnah then goes and tells us another case. Rashi brings all this. The second case is where the person knew that there was a Chacham coming to the north and a Chacham coming to the south. Meaning, there was a Chacham coming to Tzafin, Chacham coming to Darim. He's just not sure which Chacham's drasha he wants to hear. So he makes an Erev to Tzafin, he makes an Erev to Darim, and he says he's going to decide, I don't know if I want to go here, I want to go there. Chacham say that also works. I said that Rabbi Yehuda argued with the second piece. He said, Eino de Masal Shei Dvarim Ke'echad. That doesn't work. You can't say that I'm going to have an Erev to Tzafin and an Erev to Darim, and I'm going to figure out which drasha I want to hear. The only thing you could do is the first case. And Chacham leMizrach and Reuven leMizrach, leMayriv and Reuven leMayriv, yeah, that you could do. Meaning, if there's one Chacham, there's one drasha, you're just not sure if he's coming, leMizrach leMayriv, that's fine. But if you want to go ahead and make two chachamim, you're just not sure which one you're going to want to listen to. That's not okay. Now the Gemara, in its analysis of Shitas Ayoy, Shitas Rabbi Yehuda asked the question, why is it that if the chacham is going to come lekan ulekan, you don't have a right to decide later which Erev you want to have, the Ein Breira, because that would be totally Ein Breira. And again, if you hold Yesh Breira, so then we can say, when I decide which drasha I want to hear, Gloy Milsa, that was my Kenyan Shvisa to begin with. But if that's the case, Mizrach Ma'ariv Nami Ein Breira. So even if there's only one Chacham that's coming, but being that you don't know which direction he's coming in, and you can only find out later, so again, shouldn't that also be totally Ein Breira? Gloy Milsa Ma'freya, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, explain Ayay. It's talking about where the Chacham came. Now, the case where only one Chacham is coming is where the Chacham already came before Yantav. Meaning that he came before Yantav already, so it's not a question of Breira. Breira is where something is going to happen later that didn't happen in real time, and we're going to say that Igloi Milsa can rewrite the way we see history. But the first case of the Mishnah and Erevin is where the Chacham, the person just doesn't know. You know, back in the day, you don't have communication like you have today. So he says, I'm making Erev here. I know he came to one of the directions. He's been here since Wednesday. I just don't know which direction he's coming or which direction he came. So to say there, I'll find out later. But wherever he ended up coming is the Gloy Milsa that he was always there. So you don't have to come on to Breira. But we have to come on to Breira. That's where Rabbi Yehuda had a problem. In other words, it's a Mishnah Masechtas Erevin. It's clearly complicated. Machlokes Tanoim, as it relates to somebody who wants to use Breira for Erev Tchumen. The Chachamim are Mekel, clearly they hold Yesh Breira. Ayoy, Yom Rabbi Yochanan was Mach. And Rabbi Yochanan, this is the punchline. The whole punchline of this whole sugi is Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explained Ayoy, Yom Rabbi Yehuda, and how did he explain him as holding Ein Breira? So what do you see? Rabbi Yochanan holds Ein Breira. Now, at first glance, it's Mardix. Rabbi Yochanan Lashitasai. Rabbi Yochanan is the one that said, Achin Shachokul, Kuchai Sein, Umachzir Zel Zebayova, which we said is because he holds Ein Breira. So I have two Rabbi Yochanans that hold Ein Breira, but it's a problem. Because in our sugi we have a Rabbi Yochanan that holds Yesh Breira. Now, the Gemara wanted to say that true Rabbi Yochanan sugi holds Yesh Breira, but that's only by the Rabbanans. Achin Shachok is the Raisa Ein Breira. Tchumin is the Rabbanan, therefore he holds Yesh Breira. But the problem is we just found another case, which is also Tchumin. It's the same exact Rabbanan, and still Rabbi Yochanan holds Ein Breira. Alma Leslie the Rabbi Yochanan Breira. So you see, Rabbi Yochanan also holds Ein Breira. In other words, the Gemara is saying, we had a case of Tchumin on Yontif. And the Gemara said, my Havi Allah, Tolian Breira. Rabbi Shaya said Yesh Breira, Rabbi Yochanan said Ein Breira. And the Gemara says, we're stuck over here. If Rabbi Shaya is the one that holds Yesh Breira, how does it seem with Rabbi Shaya and Aholis that holds Ein Breira? And if Rabbi Yochanan is the one that holds Ein Yesh Breira, how does it seem with Rabbi Yochanan in the Mishnah and Erevin and Achin Shecholku, who also holds Ein Breira? Meaning, we know Rabbi Shaya Shita and Shas is Ein Breira, and we know Rabbi Yochanan Shita and Shas is Ein Breira. So which one of these two Amiram, Rabbi Shai and Rabbi Yochanan, in our sugya said Yesh Breira? Again, Erevin, Breira. My Havi Allah, Rabbi Shai said Yesh Breira, Rabbi Yochanan said Ein Breira. Either Rabbi Shai or Rabbi Yochanan hold Yesh Breira. Pashtus, Rabbi Shai. You want to tell me Epoch? Beseda. Then it's Rabbi Yochanan. But it's one of the two. The problem is they both hold Ein Breira. So if they both hold Ein Breira, how do you make this work? So the Gemara says, Eloyim le'tepuch, don't make any epuchs, you don't have to do that. And le'olam, it's Rabbi Shaya that says, Yesh Breira. Aye, what's the kasha? Rabbi Shaya holds Ein Breira. Where did Rabbi Shaya say Ein Breira? By Tumas Meis. Where did Rabbi Shaya say Yesh Breira? By Erevin. Says the Gemara, very geschmack. V'chi lesle the Rabbi Shaya Breira b'doi raisa. Avol b'drabonon isle. It's true, Rabbi Shaya holds Yesh Breira, but when does Rabbi Shaya hold Yesh Breira? By the Rabbanans. And it's true, Rabbi Shaya holds Ein Breira. When does Rabbi Shaya hold Ein Breira? That's by the raisa. So as it relates to Tumas Meis, the raisa, Ein Breira. As it relates to Erevin, Tchumen, which is the Rabbanon, there the halach is Yesh Breira, and then the Gemara says, Darash Mar Zutra. Mar Zutra gave the following drasha. He said, Halachik Rabbi Shai. We pass like Rabbi Shai, and that's the way the Rambam paskins. The Psak halach is Yesh Breira, Ein Breira. This comes up throughout Shas, but you don't always see the halacha. Here the Gemara says what the halacha is. The halacha is Be'ed Aflamet Chesamet Aleph, that it depends. Sometimes Yesh Breira, sometimes Ein Breira. If we're dealing with a sugi of a Dairaisa, then the halacha is Ein Breira. If we're dealing with a sugi of the Rabban and they were Mekel, there the halacha is Yesh Breira. What's the Makar? The Makar is Shitas Rabbi Shaya. As it relates to Eruv Tchumen, which is a Rabbanon, Yesh Breira. As it relates to Tumas Meis, Tumas Aholis, that's a Dairaisa. There the halacha is Ein Breira.